This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
Here at Audi, we have some good news to share with the world. Unfortunately, our good news is bad news for our competition. So to soften the blow, we brought in the very best at delivering bad news. Someone's mom.
The Audi A4 is the biggest, fastest, most fuel-efficient car in its class. Oh, honey, I know it's hard to hear, but it'll be okay.
I'm David Jones, inviting you to test drive an impressive new Audi A4 Premium today at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at GeraldJonesAudi.com. Audi. Truth in engineering.
Well, Jaime Diaz is an award-winning columnist and author, and he's the editor-in-chief at Golf World Magazine. It's a pleasure to welcome Jaime Diaz back to the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Jaime.
Hello, John.
All right, Tiger's back. When you heard him announce that he'd be playing at Congressional, what'd you think?
Well, I was very surprised because everything I'd heard was that, you know, these back rehabilitations and healing sessions take 12 weeks at least, and I figured he's going to be conservative because there's just no, you know, there's no percentage in risking another injury, and that he wouldn't be ready, even if he was healthy, to play even the last two majors. I wasn't even thinking in terms of getting back for the British Open, but I was thinking more maybe possibly the PGA. And so it took me by surprise that he wanted to risk it. And at the same time, I understood that, you know, his tournament might have been a commercial motivation. And still, it seemed like, wow, that doesn't sound like Tiger to put his sort of, you know, commercial partnerships ahead of his golf future and golf quality. So anyway, I think a lot of people had the same reaction. At the same time, we don't know. Ever, you know, what Tiger is his actual physical state, other than, you know, I'm good or I'm not good, and no specifics. So I give him the benefit of the doubt and figure he's ready, or at least ready to have a plan. And my thought was, okay, this is just a dry run, probably not going to play that well, but it's the only way he can get ready for Hoylake.
You know, I admit that I was right there with you. I really thought we wouldn't see him again this year because my thought was, you know, once we get past the PGA, he doesn't really care about all of that stuff. So,
well, certainly not enough to want to, you know, threaten his health. I mean, I think he loves to play well and loves to win. But if it's a struggle, yes, better to rest, get ready for next year. So, he cares if he's playing well. If he doesn't, not playing well, and is hurting, definitely, I think he'd even prefer to sit the rest of the year out. But these majors are clicking by. I think he was, you know, it probably killed him to watch Pinehurst because, you know, frankly, that the course, as he plays today, that course was really good for him. I mean, it had wide enough fairways and not the kind of inhibiting rough, and probably didn't require a lot of drivers, but still gave him room if he wanted to hit driver. And certainly when he's sharp, his short game and putting is the kind that separates him from the rest or most of the rest of the players, and Pinehurst had that premium. So that had to be hard to watch. So I don't know how much. I doubt this was an emotional decision because I just think it's too late in the game to be taking risks. So I'll assume it's a calculated one, but he must have been bursting at the seams to play and, you know, on a 50-50 call, he decided to go for it.
So what do you make of the fact that he came back for what he hoped for would be four rounds but was two rounds, and now we won't see him again until Hoylake?
Well, I still think the four rounds and just or the two rounds and the practice rounds and being in the environment again psychologically had some, you know, positive effect on his transition. I think to just come straight cold to the British. Now, he used to do that when he was playing a lot of golf and winning a lot. He would take time off. He would practice like a madman. It wasn't always for injuries, but it was his time off. And he would win first time out of the gate routinely. In fact, he'd be at his best sometimes in that regard. But he's not like that anymore. I think it's hard for him to put in a lot of hours practicing. You know, the toll of just getting ready is not as much fun, and not the same enthusiasm probably isn't there. And he's got to really, you know, target and choreograph his returns now. So I still think that week, as long as he's pointing for the British with serious golf in mind, it was probably good to get something under his belt just to kind of, you know, feel like I'm a player again. And so in a way, maybe even two rounds was a blessing over four because he wasn't going to win. And maybe four would have been stressing him a little bit. So, you know, I'm sure he's going to spin it in his own head for good reason, you know, in a positive. But I think it wasn't a negative that he only played two rounds and that he's not going to play again. I think he's cracked that barrier of being completely cold. And now he goes to Hoylake with some idea of what he's going to be working on and what his game is capable of and what he is physically and mentally feeling.
We're talking to Jaime Diaz, the editor-in-chief at Golf World Magazine. You know, there was a lot made out of his attitude last week. I heard many folks saying he didn't seem as motivated as he once was. And you've alluded to the fact that other things are coming into play. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think he's trying to play his way into motivation?
I think he knew he wasn't quite there. And I think it's very hard for Tiger to play when he doesn't feel he can win. In fact, he never used to play when he didn't feel he could win. So this was an exception in that regard, right off the bat. And I think he was just low-keying it and just seeing what was coming towards him in terms of the way his game was going to present itself to him, the way he felt mentally, you know, his nerves, all those things. And it was sort of a wait-and-see week. And so I give him the benefit of the doubt to not really feel like, or at least project this great enthusiasm. I think he's basically pointing for Hoylake. And if we see the same, you know, sort of subdued attitude at Hoylake early on, especially, maybe, you know, if he's out of it on Sunday morning and somebody says, gee, he looks subdued, that's fine. But if he's subdued on Thursday or Wednesday or Tuesday, then I think you can start questioning whether Tiger still has the fire. But I just think it's early. And, you know, I'm still, and I've written about this, it's very hard for me at 38 to think Tiger's washed up. And to think Tiger still doesn't have some magic in him. It may have to be targeted magic, you know, sort of surgical strikes, but I still think it can be there. And he may be making a surgical strike at Hoylake or beyond at the PGA at Valhalla. I think Valhalla suits him very well if he's got some game. And, you know, I just don't think physically there's no reason he can't have game if he's not hurt. Assuming that the back surgery went well and that he feels strong, he can play. For me, the question is Tiger's head. What's in there now? You know, and of course we can't know, but I think one statistic that just screams at me is he has not broken 70 in a major on a weekend since the 2011 Masters. And that speaks to some kind of psychological, I'd say, difficulties dealing with what he used to deal with better than anybody else, which was weekends and majors.
Having said all that, as much as we've seen out of that man for the last 15 years or so, would you at all be surprised if he ends up winning the next two majors?
Well, I would be surprised, but I would not be shocked. In other words, I just think he's capable. I just think he's still the best when he's right. Getting right is the question. Can he get right? Not just physically, but can he get right mentally? I still think it's in there. I don't see him as a diminished player physically. He's a slightly different player. His golf swing probably isn't quite as dynamic. But he's still plenty long, and he's still a great iron player, probably on his game, the best iron player in the game still. I've seen him have great runs of putting over these last couple of years, even though his putting statistically isn't quite as good. I just think when he's right, he's still the best. And so the question is, when does it fall right? I mean, it fell right for Jack Nicklaus in 86 at the Masters, and it's fallen right for Ernie Els at the British a few years ago, and it fell right last year for Phil Mickelson at the British. So why wouldn't it fall right for Tiger, who's better than all those guys, except I would say he's better now at 38 than Jack was at 46. He's more capable, I think, than, you know, those late winners that we just saw. It just, will his time come, and will it break right for him?
While I have you, a couple of minutes we have left, I haven't had the chance to speak with you since the two-week USGA experiment at Pinehurst. First of all, was that 2 weeks of sleeping in your own bed?
Oh, it was terrific, yeah. No, I was here. I left for a couple of days during the Women's Open and came back. And, yeah, it was wonderful. It was very – and, you know, the USGA loves Pinehurst for its logistics along with its golf course because getting around here was not a problem. There's so much space and it's so many different ways to route the traffic that there were very few delays. It was really easy. It was nice.
What did you think of the two-week experiment?
Well, I thought it was a great success. I mean, I thought visually that Pinehurst looked wonderful and really interesting, and some people, of course, don't like the brown, but I think anybody who's got the future of golf in mind appreciates what the USGA was trying to accomplish there. I thought the course played great. I think the greens are the only issue at Pinehurst, and they're going to redo them. Do you want that much speed in greens that are that severe going forward? I think, you know, there's always that moment at Pinehurst when the ball rolls over just barely and then goes another 30 yards. That's a little extreme. But other than that, I thought it produced really exciting golf. Martin Keimer was historically good. Maybe it was dull to some people. I thought it was fascinating how well he played. And Michelle Wee played a brand of golf that I think is exciting because it was power golf on a major championship site. And I think that's what you used to see a lot of among the best players, whether it was Hogan or Nicklaus or Palmer. They'd win majors with power golf. And that's what I liked about the setup. It allowed people to hit drivers. It allowed people to, you know, use their power to hit the ball down farther the fairway and spin it with short irons. And it rewarded athleticism. And that's not always the way the U.S. Open has been. And I like that transition. Maybe it's isolated at Pinehurst, but I heard that Oakmont is cutting some rough away around the bunkers. So fast and firm and some room to gamble and take chances and use power is something that I thought was encouraging about Pinehurst.
He is Jaime Diaz, the editor-in-chief at Golf World Magazine. Jaime, I always appreciate the time. Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure, John. Thank you.